This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jeff Gottney, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Rush University System for Health. Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Great to be on, Laura. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely, anytime. I know we're excited to have you on and for this conversation because I know Rush is doing so much in the digital health space and certainly on the forefront of how transformation is happening in the healthcare. But before we dive into our broader discussion, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a CIO here at Rush. I've been for the past 3 years. Prior to that, I was a managing director at Deloitte and a partner at Ernst & Young. And sandwiched in between those two was a stint at Northwell Health for about 8 years running IT operations. So I've had a chance to sit in the vendor chair, a chance to sit in the professional services chair, and a chance to sit in the operations chair. And I think it kind of gives you a unique perspective. So 3 years at Rush and joining just after COVID is definitely an interesting, was definitely an interesting experience. I did an orientation session this morning for new employees at Rush. And of course, when I joined, none of those things were in person. In fact, my whole department was remote. So I showed up and it was like a totally empty floor in an office building with just a laptop sitting on my desk. It was sort of like the Matrix, like, open this up and join us. So it was fun.
Well, that's great to hear. And certainly, when you think about all the different experiences you've had throughout your career, I can imagine bringing that into now, how you're running things at Rush and through the pandemic as well. It can just should just be a unique experience. What are some of your top priorities right now, and what are you spending most of your time on?
Yeah, I think probably the same things that many people are spending their time on. There's a certain amount of sort of legacy, IT. It's kind of like anytime you own something, whether it's a house or a car or an IT department, there's always some sort of erosion and decrepitude that sneaks in. So we've spent a lot of the last 2 years trying to fix that because it had been somewhat neglected. There was a lot of infrastructure and continues to be a decent amount of infrastructure and cyber investments that had to be made to sort of bring the whole place up to code. We're getting much closer to that. The last big thing on the application side is an ERP project, which we've just launched past month. And so we'll be replacing our ERP solution. And that'll really get us to the place that we need to be as far as being very current with our systems and our infrastructure. So there's that. There's always cyber, and never more so than the last few months. And unfortunately, here in Chicagoland, we have one of our close partners that was attacked with Murray Children. So that's put everyone on super high alert, and made us all rethink our architectures and our protections. Are they adequate? And I would say, they're never completely adequate. You're never really completely safe. And so we've taken a posture that every outage or every incident that occurs is a cyber incident until it's proven not to be. So that's consuming an awful lot of it's consumes a lot of resources to remain that vigilant and sort of always be waiting for the fire bell to ring. And then on the positive side, looking beyond those two things, we're carving out a lot of time and a lot of resource towards improving our digital health presence and reimagining our business models with digital as kind of a digital first view of things. And that's taken, all kinds of different forms, whether it be improving our text capabilities to engage with patients via text and allow them to do self-serve in a lot of different ways using just text. To co-developing a new application with a startup company, to adding in features like the ability to let people know about wait times and deflect them to other places. We have a very nice Starbucks here on campus, and we know there's a 15 or 20 minute wait at the campus. You may get an alert from us to go grab a cup of coffee on us at Starbucks while we clear the queue, and then we'll let you know when it's time to come back up. So we're focusing a lot on sort of low-tech features in the digital experience that are real patient and customer satisfiers. And then, of course, AI is, you know, a very large priority for us. And again, I think trying to what I call kind of lunch pail AI. So, you know, using AI in kind of simple ways to improve our effectiveness as opposed to vast, you know, deep AI projects. We're trying to do small ones that have real payback and are integrated, most importantly, integrated with the workflow. We never want service of AI to force people to step out of what they're doing. It should make them more efficient and more effective than less so. So those things, legacy, debt, cyber, digital, and AI, they are probably taking up 90% of my time.
That's fascinating to hear. And certainly, I can imagine as you were talking through all this, I mean, obviously, cybersecurity is a huge challenge in trying to figure out how to manage the resources there to the most effectiveness possible is great. And then, you know, when you look at, as you were just mentioning, AI and some of the simple ways that you're able to apply it into the organization and operational efficiencies, I mean, can you share one or two examples of ways that you've really been able to use artificial intelligence in some of those aspects, I guess, of the health systems to improve effectiveness?
Yeah, we take a pretty broad definition of AI. So I know Gen AI is sort of the darling in the moment, but you know, we've been using AI in, for instance, diagnostic radiology for a long time. And what we've done just recently is established a partnership with Bayer Collantec, which really offers a framework for using artificial intelligence protocols, many of them, you know, from multiple vendors in the care of a patient, and sort of lets you click those modules in and provides a consistent interface for the radiologist and data interface for the AI module. And we think that's going to have a big impact on, you know, both quality as well as speed and effectiveness of our diagnostic radiologists. We were an early adopter of Nuance for ambient listening, and we're intrigued by the idea of using ambient listening in a lot of other settings, not just in a clinic and not just for clinician notes. How could it be used in nursing? How could it be used in other diagnostic areas? How could it be used potentially with patients? We have a AI-enabled integrated voice and response system that sits in front of our access center so that patients are able to use their voice to self-serve a bunch of different functions. And we've had some success with that. So how do we extend that when it comes to ambient listening? And then on the Gen AI front, today we've been working pretty closely with Epic and ServiceNow, and we'll be working pretty closely with Salesforce around their Einstein toolset to apply some of those technologies to our big stack vendors, big box vendors. And then standing up our own AI, ChatGPT, and, you know, large language model environment later this year so we can begin to experiment in a more structured way with some of those tools. We're currently prototyping Copilot, Microsoft's Copilot for Office 365. Also, let people, you know, try out the tech and get a better understanding and adjust their expectations of what it can do and what it isn't so good at. Because regardless of what you may read, it's not going to solve all problems. So, well, I sure wish it
Absolutely.
would, but it's not likely to. Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice just to have a button you can press, and AI will deal with everything that comes up?
I think the button exists. And I think it will deal with it, but it doesn't mean that it'll deal with it correctly. And that's where we're, you know, that's what we have to be cautious about, is because I do think, unfortunately, there is a button, and unfortunately, it will deal, but making sure it does it safely and ethically and doesn't create, you know, more inequities in health access and so forth. They're all the things that we worry about and spend time on, you know, to make sure that it's a useful tool and not one that potentially causes other issues.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. Well, perfect. Well, you know, and given whether it's artificial intelligence, digital health, or Some of the other areas that are really emerging for patient self-service and the patient experience, how do you see Rush evolving over the next 2 to 3 years or so? What areas are you continuing to zero in on, or are there any new spaces that you expect to get into?
Yeah, I think our strategy, our digital strategy really has these three major pillars to it. There's one that's very focused on the consumer, and I say consumer because in addition to being a healthcare organization, we're also a university. We have students, we have applicants, and then we have employees, that also want to interact and need to interact with us. So it's a consumer-focused strategy. And then there's another pillar that's around care transformation. So how do we change how we deliver care, either in augmenting it or in supporting completely different models for delivering care using digital technology? And then the third pillar is really around operations efficiency. How do you use this technology to become more efficient, to find ways of either accelerating steps through like robotic process automation as an example, or removing steps entirely from the workflow, like automated chart reviews. So we have these three pillars, and then within the consumer strategy, there's sort of two parts to that. One is making ourselves very easy to access, so streamlining the process and letting people choose their journey, and having a multi-channel view of that so that people can engage with us through an app, through the web, through a phone call, text message, through any different which way, whatever their preferred way of communicating. And then the second part that supports that is creating a very personalized experience for folks so that they, not just a generic benefit to them, but actually somebody who's engaged with them and a trusted source of information and advisor to them as they plan their care or plan their student experience.
That makes a lot of sense, and really sounds like it'll be exciting to see how all of that evolves and grows, and can lead to that better experience for patients and healthcare consumers, as well as the team within the health system at large. I'm wondering, before we wrap up here, could you talk about one change that you or your team has made recently that yielded great results?
Sure. I think maybe two changes, if you don't mind, they're kind of related to one another. First is we just recently completed implementation of a new customer kind of 360 architecture. So the idea that we have all of this information and these little puddles of data all across the health system, each one of which you may have some of your data in. Maybe you were a student, maybe you've given money to us before. Maybe you were part of one of our community programs. Maybe you've been a patient. Maybe a family member's been a patient. Really, all of those encounters lived in different databases until very recently. Just put in this infrastructure to connect all of that to give us a much more holistic view of who our customers are, what their preferences are, what their experiences have been, so that at that point of contact, we're able to bring all of that knowledge to bear and sort of suggest what the next best action could be. And that can be very kind of subtle. For instance, a person who called into the call center the other day was calling in for one particular thing, but they had three referrals that they had never followed up on. And we were able to surface that information. And so the agent was able to actually help them schedule all of the care. So close that care gap out in one phone call. So it could be subtle, but it could be major. And then what's related to that is really taking how our staff is organized and how they think about what they do and turning it on its side, which is to say, traditionally, like most other Epic shops in particular, our folks have been primarily in swim lanes. They're, experts at a module or they're experts at Epic, but they're not generally thinking about things outside of that swim lane. I had to really turn that on its side and say, no, let's think about the whole workflow because it's not just an Epic workflow anymore. Now there's half a dozen other things that light up that and make that work. You have to think about those tools and think about how they enable the workflow a different way. And that's, it's been a challenge because, like I said, we have trained people to be really, really good in their swim lanes, and now we're asking them to think about the whole pool. And sometimes that's a challenging transition, but I think that's the one that'll bear the greatest fruit for us as we go forward, because I think that's the reality, you know, particularly in digital and AI, is you really do have to think across those silos.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it's just fascinating to kind of think through how the technology is now enabling so much more to happen, but, you know, really, truly now knocking down some of those silos that we've been talking about for years, needing to be more integrated between teams. When you go about that process of trying to change how people are thinking about their day-to-day responsibilities and what growth looks like, and really, truly, you know, get them thinking differently about how the organization runs and in the connective tissue there. Is there anything that you have found particularly effective in communicating that and really inspiring change?
I think the probably the thing that's been most effective is to make people aware that that's how it's going to be going forward, and inviting them to be part of the planning and design process, so that folks feel invested in, they don't feel left behind. So I think a lot of communication, of course, that's a challenge. We're a hybrid workforce, largely remote. We have folks, part of our workforce, that work in more than 20 different states. So the old days of pulling people together in a room and kind of whiteboarding things out are very different today. So how we engage with people and how we inspire them had to adapt over the last 3 years significantly. So over-communicating is definitely part of it. And then I would say, you know, some formal training and some assignments to projects that are stretch projects, where they may not know everything going in, but learn on the job. The old, you know, throwing people into the deep end of the pool, most of them do learn to swim. Few do sink. So we want to save them because we need everybody in the village, not just some people in the village. But for the most part, you know, I think there's the training you can do, there's the communication you can do, but there's no real remedy for real experience. So we try to put people into safe spots where they can participate in projects and grow. And that's been so far pretty successful. There's lots more room to continue to do that, but I think it also signifies to the rest of the staff that we have a commitment to continually investing and continually growing them. And I want us to be thought of as a place where people can come and grow their career, not just, you know, do the one thing that they're really well known for over and over again, but can branch out and learn new things and participate, you know, in change. That's the one constant, right, in our health IT. Is change.
Absolutely. That's such a great philosophy and way to approach things. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been a fascinating discussion. I, you know, really learned a lot and made me think a lot about how technology is really evolving in the healthcare space. Look forward to having you back again soon, and it'll be great to see you speaking at our live events as well upcoming here.
Thanks, Laura. Really looking forward to it. And thanks again for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy working with Becker. So thank you.